I might have said this before, but I have not always been a pie lover. While that is certainly true for sweet pies, it isn't the same truth when it comes to other types of pies. One of my fondest memories from my childhood is going to Moffitt's Family Restaurant. I remember crowding into a booth with my brother and my dad as we all ordered the exact same thing from the menu, which is what this spot was known for. Because it wasn't just a restaurant, but also a chicken pot pie shop. Because I may not always have been a sweet pie fan, but I have always been a savory pie fan. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Savory Pies, and which ones I believe are the best. As I already alluded to, my last year's episode for Thanksgiving was exclusively focused on sweet pies. This year, I am turning the tides and instead going to be focusing on savory pies by going into some of my favorites before mentioning some of the crazier pies out there and ones that maybe I do or do not want to be trying in the near future. Just for some context, before I go into it, I also didn't really divide this in terms of the type of meat used or if it's vegetarian or not. And a lot of the meat pies I talk about can also be made with a vegetarian option. So I'll be mentioning that, but for the most part, I'm just kind of going to go through a bunch of pies. So first, I want to start with the best one. We're not saving best for last here. We're starting off with it, which is the chicken pot pie. To me, this is the undefeated champion of the savory pie. Most of this opinion comes from me having fond memories of eating this pie growing up, so in that way, I am extremely biased. Otherwise, though, I find something so comforting about the gravy-like filling and vegetable with little chunks of flavorful chicken. And I think the crust is the best part. If it's done right and has been properly saturated with sauce, there's nothing quite like the texture of the crispy parts of the crust and the softer innards of it. I will forever be a chicken pot pie fan. Next, though, is shepherd's pie. This one was a staple in my household growing up. My dad would often make shepherd's pie, which is a medley of ground beef, peas, carrots, and spices with some mashed potatoes on top. It wasn't necessarily a go-to meal, but I had it enough times that I appreciated it a lot, especially in the winter now that I live in more cold climates. There's nothing quite like a shepherd's pie when it is freezing outside. Next, we have the Guinness pie. And I can say, because of studying abroad in Ireland, that I have been fortunate enough to have been able to try this. Inside of golden brown puff pastry is beef and vegetables that are covered in a slow-simmered Guinness gravy sauce. It's basically like a warm hug. Similar to the chicken pot pie, but the Guinness pie is unique because it has another depth of flavor thanks to the added beer taste. And I would like to say that while ground beef isn't used, it's more like chunks and slices of beef, but it's very tender meat. And so it's really enjoyable in that way because it is a different meat, but also it doesn't go the ground beef option. It instead makes sure the meat is super tender and has a similar mouthfeel to all of the vegetables within the pie as well. Plus, who doesn't like pie with a little bit of beer in it? Now, I'm going to be moving on to the quiche Lorraine. And I really do like quiches. I would say I'm a pretty big quiche fan, and really the best ones that I've had have been the simplest ones that have cheese and broccoli or some sliced tomato or bacon and spinach. But I find that people are too quick to over-engineer the simple quiche, which makes my eating experience much worse. It's hard when you have more filling, more additives than simply the egg custard, because I enjoy the egg custard, especially with a little bit of spices. It's quite enjoyable, but when people put so much filling in that the egg custard basically is just keeping everything together, I find it a little bit less enjoyable. And that's kind of why I prefer making them than buying them, because not every quiche is going to be a good one. But in terms of the classics, a quiche Lorraine is great since it only has the basics of bacon or ham and cheese with the eggs. But like anything else, it is a delicate balance. So you have to make sure you put the right amount in. You don't want just egg custard, but you also don't want it to be just the additive fillings. So I do really like a quiche as a breakfast food or a lunch food, but you do have to be careful with it. So it's not my favorite, just because whenever I order a quiche, I don't always know if it's going to be a good one. Next is a rigatoni pie, and I'm going to be honest, I don't really consider this a pie, but it is quite tasty. To me, it's on the same exact level as lasagna, because a rigatoni pie just takes rigatoni, which are the really large circular noodles, and then you stuff them with ricotta or meat and cover it with a sauce and cheese to bake. And for me, it's quite satisfying to be able to peel back each noodle and eat them individually. But I also understand that it's basically a glorified and fancy lasagna. You have all the same components of a lasagna, you're just changing the noodle type. A lot of people do call this a pie, though. If you look for recipes for this, it will be called rigatoni pie. It's not called rigatoni lasagna, because it's not lasagna noodles. Or just rigatoni, because that's the noodle itself. So, that is some added context here, but I do think it is quite a tasty pie, and I thought we needed a little bit of a pasta pie dish to spice things up for my savory pie evaluations. And that kind of leads me into talking a little bit about hand pies. I am a big hand pie fan. I like it when it's a little bundle of warm spices and meats and vegetables all put together. And so that leads me to talk about empanadas and samosas. I understand that these are both very different, but I find them similar in terms of their tastiness and the elements that they're both smaller hand pies. So to be clear, an empanada has Spanish origins. It's fried or baked pastry that's filled with meat, cheese, corn, or other ingredients. Whereas a samosa has South Asian origins. That's fried pastry that's filled with meats, sometimes goat. But it's often vegetarian, but also has spices, potatoes, onions, and peas. Sometimes all of the above, but not exclusively. But I really do like vegetarian samosas because the filling can be really, has a really nice texture, and the spices are very warming, which I really like. I'm a big fan of warming spices. A lot of the savory pies that I've talked about earlier kind of rely on the flavor of the sauce and tend to be more filling and comforting, but I find samosas to be more warming and then to have a lot more flavor than other pies, which I appreciate. I also really like empanadas because they can be a little more doughy, and in this context, that's a good thing. I'm a fan of dough. I like things that are doughy. That's why I like hand pies. Why would you eat the filling when you can eat it encased in a wonderful, flaky, tasty dough? I'm making myself hungry by talking about all of this. But I really do like having a variety of pies, as these can be filled with a wide variety that includes even fish. But samosas, as I mentioned, can also be vegetarian, which tends to be my preference. And beef in India isn't really eaten, and so that's why that's a popular filling in empanadas, but it's not in samosas. So there is also cultural context to a lot of these dishes that I didn't mention explicitly, but I think kind of does become more important the further you go down in eating them. But in my opinion, any hand pie is a good hand pie. And next, I kind of want to get into some of the crazier categories of pie that I'm not that familiar with and maybe haven't tried, but want to try or kind of just want to talk about because they're really interesting when I was looking into them. So first is the fish pie or fisherman's pie. This is one of those English delights that doesn't sound that delightful. It's like a shepherd pie, but with whitefish, either fresh or smoked. And it sometimes has the addition of hard-boiled eggs, cheese, and of course has that mashed potato topping, similar to a shepherd's pie. The thing is, all these ingredients in isolation sound great, but together I'm a little bit skeptical. And although I haven't tried it, I'm not entirely sure I want to. I think part of me doesn't really understand the appeal of seafood in a pie. I think in my mind, seafood goes in other contexts, and so fish in a pie doesn't necessarily sound like the tastiest thing out there. And that leads me very well transitioned into the stargazy pie. This one in its name sounds really good. Like a stargazy pie almost sounds like a sweet pie. You know, like maybe star-shaped crust or something that's a really tasty filling. But it's another one of those British or Cornish delights where you basically have a pie that has sardine heads sticking out of it. Yeah, I know. So the whole idea is that it looks like they're gazing up at the stars. So you might have like four sardine heads poking up at different sides of the pie, and they're all looking up.
Stargazing, which sounds adorable. But I really think for some reason this feels like a cruel violation of the sardine. Like, it's a bit weird to be calling it a stargazing pie and have the sardines looking upwards, despite the fact that they're all dead. And I also am not the biggest fan of eating fish heads, so I think that might contribute to my skepticism in this case. But otherwise, the filling is whitefish, eggs, boiled potatoes, and sounds a little bit more in line with just a regular fish or fisherman's pie. Sardines are just a little extra. Although this is a traditional pie in that it does have a crust, so the sardines are poking out of the crust. And I do think it's cool, though, that this pie actually originates from a legend and is eaten during the festival during
Tom Bowcock's Eve to celebrate his bravery in the 16th century for venturing out to catch fish during a winter storm for his village that was completely reliant on fish to eat. And so the reason why the heads are poking out is for him to prove that there is indeed fish in the pie so that he wasn't lying about catching fish or anything. which I think is kind of funny in terms of an origin story, and really shows just how much Mr. Babcock tried to do the right thing. But I do think it is an interesting tradition that continues now, and I wonder what context the pie is eaten under besides just celebrating that day, that holiday. So just an interesting pie. I don't think I'll be trying it anytime soon, but maybe one day I'll think about it and want to try it. Next, though, is the Karelian pie, which is one I haven't tried, but really does sound fascinating. It's a Finnish pie that's made out of rye crust, and it can have a filling of either rice or carrots and potatoes or just mashed potatoes. And to eat it, what you do is you spread egg butter, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's butter mixed with hard-boiled eggs, and then you spread it on top, and you eat it while it's still hot. Most of these pies, you eat it while it's still hot. I think it's important clarification. But it just sounds very interesting. Like, it's a very staple food by having a lot of starches mixed together in the pie itself. And then the egg butter is something I've never heard of before, but actually does sound quite fascinating, so I would like to try it at some point. But I do enjoy the idea of pies like this that are very much just staple foods, and at least the Karelian pie has a very interesting crust that's formed in terms of the way that it's shaped by before you put it in the oven. It's a little bit like twisty and wavy, and so I kind of like things like that where the crust is interesting or fascinating or there's another added element to a pie. And that brings me to the Moroccan pastilla. This one is also interesting in that it uses a flaky pastry like phyllo with spiced chicken or pigeon, almond, and eggs. So already interesting ingredients. What I find fascinating is that it's often topped with powdered sugar and cinnamon. These pies could also be filled with seafood, but the poultry one really does sound better to me. As we've already established, I'm not the biggest seafood in a pie fan, which is okay. But I really think this is an interesting dish because you have something that's very savory, but it also has a little bit of sweetness added to it. And so I really enjoy pies and dishes that can kind of straddle the line between savory and spicy or sweet and savory. And this pie definitely sounds like it fits in that category. And I think with the flakiness of the dough being so thin, like a phyllo dough, would really make this pie a lot more cohesive because it's not just like a really thick crust, but it's a thinner one, which I think is fascinating. I also think it's another dish that has some history. I always appreciate a dish that has a background or a history behind it. And I just want to say, to be honest, rounding out the end of our pie series on savory pies, I think almost anything can be a pie. There's a beef Wellington pie, a spaghetti pie, a breakfast pie with hash browns. There's a put anything you can and you want in it pie. There's a pie for pretty much everything. And I think that the world should embrace more pies and savory pies. And my question is whether or not there's something that you think you would want to put in a pie that you don't think has been done before. Because I feel like almost everything's been done, but you never really know. So thanks for tuning into this episode of Jackie On. I hope you're able to eat good food on Thanksgiving and maybe even try a savory pie. I'll see you in the next episode.